So Shane, it looks like Islanders Twitter got their wish with the recall of one Joshua Hosang on Saturday. I wonder what their next wish will be.
That Nikolai Kuhlman doesn't come back?
Ooh.
We are back here on the Secondary Assist Podcast. I apologize for my comment in that cold open. I love Nikolai Kuhlman, but that was more a testament to how I feel about Islanders Twitter.
Exactly. Right. It wasn't really a testament to your personal feelings.
Exactly. I am Shane Blackburn. You can follow me on Twitter at SBlackburn26. He's Andy Graziano. Follow him at AndyGraz_SNY. See? Still no looking it up. I've got it locked
still
in my memory now.
Still no looking it up. Still pushing my Twitter handle. I'm very, very impressed.
You know why? Because you know why I know it by heart now? Because now when I want to tweet ridiculous crap and I want to make sure you're tagged in it, I just throw it in there instead of having to look it up.
There you go.
Which, by the way, later in today's show, we are going to have the great Brian Compton on with us. And as I said on Twitter, he only agreed because I promised not to make any ridiculous comments like I do on Twitter.
There you go. That's another plus.
I don't know if that's true or not. I just figured I'd throw that out there because he usually makes like really profound tweets. And I quote tweet him with the most ridiculous crap because I think it's hilarious.
Oh.
I'm bad on Twitter. You should follow me on Twitter just for the laugh value. Rob Taub has said numerous times that I just want to see the world burn, and it is so true.
Well, a lot of people do on Twitter. I don't think you're the only person that wants to see the world burn. I think a lot of people feel that way. I think they use it as an outlet for maybe some of their feelings that they can't say in person, perhaps. But that's social media as a whole. I don't think that's restricted to just Twitter.
Did you see my Twitter on Saturday? Friday.
I don't know, be more specific.
I had my favorite, like, it's literally my favorite tweet I've ever tweeted. No, maybe not. That's a strong statement. But I tweeted, I said, the only thing that would make the recall of Hosang better is if they scratch him for someone else.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah, I did see that. Yeah, that definitely was an all-timer.
It definitely ruffled some feathers, too.
You know, Hosang comes back and plays pretty well, 13 minutes of ice time, got his first goal of the season on a nice play behind the net by Alan Quine. Didn't think I'd really be saying that at this stage, but, you know, he buries it. Good to see that for the kid. Bad to see on his, I'm not sure if it was his first or second shift in the first period, another brutal defensive zone turnover. I think, you know, another example of him trying to do maybe a little bit too much, and he's going to find that at this level, especially where he's at currently, less is definitely more when it comes to Josh Hosang.
He seemed to turn it down a little bit, though. There was that one very bad,
you know what I'm talking about,
turnover.
Right?
Yeah, there was one very blatant bad one. But other than that, I didn't think it was a bad game from Josh Hosang by any means. He definitely limited the turnovers. He looked like he simplified.
Chased.
Exactly.
Yep.
There was still that one glaring one that you are going to look back at and say, hey, can't do that. But I think overall, he showed the 2 weeks he spent in Bridgeport, his game
yep.
definitely matured.
Absolutely. I agree. I think he came up with the right mindset here the second time around, and hopefully he sticks. You know, right now the Islanders roster is at 23 with Hosang, with Prince and Kuhlman on injured reserve, so there's no need. You know, they can transfer Hosang's waiver status from emergency to regular and be at that 23 mark. So I don't think there's a need right now with the injury to Kuhlman to really put anybody on waivers. This kind of looks like the team they're going to roll with for the next little bit. And then you have the status of Beauvillier obviously up in the air with him taking those back-to-back shots off the ankle in Dallas.
Right, I have three quick things to say. One, we get word today that Nikolai Kuhlman's going to miss about six months.
Mm-hmm.
Because he had successful surgery on his quote upper body, because God
I'm
forbid
assuming
we get...
it's I'm assuming I'm waiting for confirmation from a couple of sources
assuming
that I texted late tonight, but I'm assuming it's a shoulder.
But God forbid we get any clear information on injuries from the NHL. But Kuhlman is going to miss six months, which mm-hmm. is great for a selection of Islander fans. Terrible, obviously, for Nikolai Kuhlman. And I honestly don't think it's terribly good for the Islanders either. I'd rather have Kuhlman. If you're going to bring Hosang back, I'd rather have Kuhlman on that fourth line, I think, than Chimera right now. But that's another topic we can get into a little bit later. Second thing I wanted to say, is I am looking forward to Hosang being around because I think Hosang could revitalize Brock Nelson. If you have Nelson, Hosang, and Quine, Hosang is one of those guys that instantly makes the other two better. One, because of his speed, you have to respect him. Two, it might draw a little bit of the attention defensively away from a guy like Quine or Nelson, who could definitely benefit from that. And three, man, Anthony Beauvillier showing that he is not confident in his roster spot out there in a 5-0 game, throwing his same leg in front of two shots to work, bust his butt, and make sure the coaching staff here knows, hey, I'm here. I'm here. I'm working my tail off. I'm playing hard. I may not be playing fantastic. You may not know a specific spot for me.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, Shane. I think that, you know, some people after the game actually questioned Beauvillier doing that in a 5-0 game where clearly the result was settled. You know, clearly the team wasn't coming back from that. I don't think they were coming back from what it was 2-0 in the first, the way they looked that night. And I think that's a real naive way of looking at it. You know, when you're a player as young as Beauvillier and you're fighting every shift, you know, you play. I mean, every player should pretty much have that philosophy, but especially a rookie. You know, you play to the end, score be damned. That really makes no difference in how you play. You play how you're programmed to play. And showed a lot of guts on Beauvillier's part. I mean, what are the odds, though, man, of taking two shots direct like that in pretty much the same area within 30 seconds? I mean, just terrible luck for the kid. But, you know, apparently it's not more than a day-to-day thing per Doug Waite. You know, I was told he's not on crutches or anything like that. So hopefully he gets back in the lineup soon. I think that even prior to the injury, I think he was struggling, obviously. I think that, you know, they're still just can't find a spot for this guy. You know, for a guy who they kind of thought was going to be the next, or they wanted to groom to be the next Franz Nielsen, I don't understand why he's not playing third line center consistently and attempting to grow into that role. It's really puzzling to me how they're handling Beauvillier so far this year.
Well, if we could be honest, I think third line center was the ideal role for Franz Nielsen anyway, if the Islanders could have ever established a second line center. So that would be the perfect role for him. Like you said, you've said it on the podcast. Doug Waite has said it in press conferences that he's having a hard time finding a role for Anthony Beauvillier, and that doesn't bode well when you have the depth that the Islanders do. Now, if Hosang proves he's matured and Hosang stays, you have to assume it's Beauvillier out. Beauvillier doesn't fit on that fourth line. He's not going to play on the fourth line with Clutterbuck and Cizikas. It doesn't make sense to play a player like Beauvillier there. So he either needs to outplay someone like Brock Nelson, or he's not going to be around. If Hosang proves his game is what it is going to be eventually, it just is a matter of when that's going to happen. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but where do you see Beauvillier fitting when that happens? You don't see him on that fourth line, do you? He makes a fourth line a much better line skill-wise, but I don't think he fits with those with Clutterbuck and Cizikas. He doesn't play that style of game.
Well, excuse me. What the heck? I got a frog in my throat or something. It all boils down to, you know, Cal Clutterbuck's really been obviously struggling this year, as has, we all know, Jason Chimera. I wouldn't mind putting Beauvillier there just to play in the place of one of those two guys. Both of, like I said, are really, I think, bringing Cizikas' game down, to be honest with you at this point. Look, you field your best 23 on a roster basis, and then you play your best 20 on a nightly basis, 18 plus two. And obviously the two were Greiss and Halak. There's no question there.
Greiss.
We'll get into that. But, you play your best 18. That's the bottom line. And if your best 18 includes Anthony Beauvillier up and down, then it is what it is. You've find a spot for him. I don't think, like I said, Chimera and Clutterbuck are doing Cizikas or that fourth line any favors right now. And I think that's a line you can kind of play with since they're at about, 10 to 12 minutes a night. It's not like you're really investing, 15 plus minutes in them. So, again, if that's your best lineup, that's your best lineup. I don't like the Islanders with Clutterbuck and Chimera and previously Kuhlman all in the lineup. I don't think that's their best lineup.
So Beauvillier gets healthy. You transition Hosang's waiver claim to
regular,
and
they're
then 23, and that's 23.
Yeah, because I'm looking at the roster
so
now.
So you have to make any
roster.
So there's no corresponding moves.
The roster prior to the I'm looking at the Blues, the Islander Blues game notes from Saturday night. The Islanders 5-2 win in Missouri, and I'm looking at the game notes right now, and I'm looking at the roster. It says 22 active with 2 on injured reserve. That does not include Hosang because he was an emergency recall. So, again, if you throw Hosang on that, it gives them an active roster of 23 with Prince and Kuhlman on IR. Kuhlman's obviously going to be on IR a long time. Prince is not going to be ready till they're saying like January-ish after the new year. So, you know, there's really not an issue right now when you throw Hosang onto that, you know, roster listing in the media notes, and that puts them at 23 active. So they're good. When Prince gets healthy, they have a decision to make. But again, that's not for another month and a half yet, you know, 6 weeks.
The Islanders' official website doesn't list Prince as IR.
He's definitely on IR.
That's interesting, though. It only lists Kuhlman as IR. But so then they wouldn't have to make a corresponding move. So I see that happening sooner than later anyway. But then you run, I guess you just take Chimera. I'd prefer to see Chimera out of the lineup than Clutterbuck. I think at any given moment, Clutterbuck can get that underrated shot off. I think he's more valuable right now to the Islanders than Kuhlman. Oh, I'm sorry, than Chimera. So I guess you just run Beauvillier, Cizikas, and Clutterbuck in that fourth line role.
It's an option. It's something we'll be talking shortly to Brian Compton about. Obviously, he's a big Beauvillier fan. He feels he should be in the lineup every night. So we'll get his thoughts on it. But like I said, I field my best 18, and my best 18 right now includes Anthony Beauvillier in it. That's just the way I feel.
When his foot is okay. You don't want him out there not skating.
Yeah, you don't want him out there in socks. No, I mean, I don't think that's their best lineup, if that's what you're implying.
You know, it might be better than Chimera.
Really?
Yeah, I had to go there.
Really?
I had to go there.
Wow.
No, but you know what's funny for me? The defense is the least.
What's funny?
The defense has improved. I think DeHaan has been fantastic.
No,
you don't
no.
think so? I think DeHaan has improved tremendously
since
the beginning of the season.
What did we say so much in our summer shows and our preseason shows? That was my biggest concern.
Yes.
Was this team defensively.
I think
they could play defense.
And I think it's been better than you expected.
No way.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
I think you don't think DeHaan's improved tremendously since his first couple of games where I thought they should have just cut him?
But he was so bad in his first couple of games. That's not hard. For me, I don't think the defense has been good at all. I don't think that they've been extremely inconsistent. They still can't clear the damn puck. I mean,
I put
on
a
the
lot
penalty
of that on
kill,
the forwards,
on the
though.
Penalty kill, for crying out loud. How many times can you clear a puck directly at the opposition defenseman?
Oh, Boychuk took a slap shot right at the guy on the point.
How
I was like, what are you
times?
Doing?
I don't get it. There's two defensemen or a defenseman and a forward at the point, plenty of goddamn ice to shoot the puck out, and they shoot it right at the guy. Time and time again.
I do think, though, that they've been better than you expected them to be. And not clearing the puck has an awful lot to do with the Islanders' wingers not being able to do anything along the boards. They just get overpowered by every opposing defenseman. It is so frustrating to me when one of our defensemen finally makes a good play to start the breakout up the ice, and the wings just have no idea what to do with the puck.
Yeah, but again, if you break the D down, Seidenberg looks old. Hickey has not looked the same as he did last year. You know, Ryan Pulock started looking a little more comfortable as he went along. Turns out he was scratched on Saturday. Wait mentioned lack of shooting, lack of physicality. Scott Mayfield's been terrific. Adam Pellick has been eh. He's been eh, you know.
And Letty's been almost
Letty. Letty's been Letty. DeHaan has been better. But again, he was so horrible early on that he's still not at his level of last year, I could say. And Boychuk, for as much as I love Johnny Boychuk, he's also looking a little bit worn.
My God, that contract is going to look awful.
I don't like that defense one bit. I didn't like it in the summer. I don't like it now. Don't like it.
I think Pellick has been okay. I think he's been better than serviceable. Hickey and Seidenberg are the two biggest disappointments for me. Boychuk looks slow. You said worn. I say slow. He's getting beat to pucks, and it's not by lack of trying, because you've seen him over the past couple of years. He doesn't get outworked by anybody. He's one of the hardest workers defensively that I've seen. He's just getting flat out beat to loose pucks in the defensive zone, and that's been a major issue. Thankfully, he's paired with Nick Leddy, who's been able to make up for some of that with his ridiculous speed. I mean, he pretty much went stride for stride with McDavid.
Connor McDavid. Story. Crazy.
And then just completely lost him after he stayed with him, which blew my mind. But whatever. Taboo.
You know, and Doug Weight, you know, is really riding the crap out of John Tavares, obviously, with 13 goals in 17 games. He's tied with Alex Ovechkin for second in the league behind Nikita Kucherov. And if you look at the forwards, you know, John Tavares's average ice time of 20 minutes and 7 seconds is 3 minutes better than the second place guy in that department.
On the team or in the league?
Among forwards on the team.
I wonder what the
league... 3 minutes better than any other forward in average ice time.
We're going to have to look that up in the league.
So that's amazing. Wade is clearly riding his best player, who's producing so far early on. But man, can we win a goddamn faceoff too? I mean, we have two guys who are barely above 50% winning faceoffs. We're 47.7% as a team. Got to win more faceoffs.
So let's see. Wow. That sounds like a ridiculous amount of minutes. He's 22nd in forwards in the league.
Wow.
There's 21 forwards with more ice time than 20 minutes, 6 seconds a game.
Yeah, I mean, what my point was more so to on the team. He's averaging three more minutes better than any other forward.
When you said that, that sounded like a lot of minutes. Like, forwards don't play 18 plus.
They're playing in the low 20s now. Top ones are. The top guys are.
Which, then, if you saw a 2 in the beginning of time on ice, it either meant they were a fourth liner getting 2 minutes a game, or they were a defenseman. Never used to see twos for forwards. Now there's the top 24 forwards in the league play 20-plus minutes of ice time.
Yep. Well, coaches are riding their best players, obviously.
Yeah, that's why. Well, I mean, if I gave you one guess at the number one forward in ice time, who is it?
And Alex Ovechkin.
Nope.
No, wait. Yeah, wow. No, I don't know. I would have said Ovechkin, but...
Ovechkin's not even on the list. Where is Ovechkin? Damn, he's far. I'll have to search for him, but it's McDavid.
Okay.
At 22 minutes and 38 seconds as a forward.
It's almost, 2.5 minutes more than Tavares.
So, like, it's just interesting. It's crazy to me because that sounded like a lot of minutes, and I was just like, wow, he's got to be top in the league. The most time on ice is Carlson from John Carlson from Washington at 27:20.
Yeah, Jesus, I like John Carlson
Christ.
A lot.
He plays almost half the game.
Solid player, man. Such a solid player.
From this area, too.
I wish we had him, but we don't.
30 shifts a game. All right. This goes out to any kids who may be listening to this that play hockey. 30 shifts a game, 27 minutes on the ice. Get the hell off the ice. All right, I'm done. Rant over. But you're right. He is riding his top line. But, I mean, look at them. When was the last time the Islanders had three consistent forwards at a point per game plus?
That's
Tavares
true.
Tavares has 19. Bailey has 18. Lee has 17. We've played 17 games.
That is true. Good point.
And then Barzal, Eberle, and Leddy have 14, 13, 12, respectively. That is 6 players for the Islanders in double digits less than 20 games into the season. So the numbers are there. Riding the Tavares-Bailey-Lee line is clearly working for the Islanders. I mean, I don't know what the hell happened on Friday in Dallas. I almost wish we could just close our eyes and forget that game happened. And quite frankly, it seems like the Islanders did when they went into Saturday's game in St. Louis.
Which they typically do. You know, per Eric Hornick, they've lost 8 games by 3 or more goals in the Doug Weight era. They've won each of the following games. So I don't like the fact that that's like that. I mean, let's face it, in 3 losses this year already, they've gotten outscored 17-4 all on the road. I don't like that statistic. I think it's a really, really bad indication. But you know what? A tight metropolitan division, every point is crucial. So, You know, right now they're hovering about that 58% mark. So a couple of big games coming up, obviously. Some teams that give us a whole handful of trouble in Carolina, Tampa Bay, Philadelphia. Schedule does not get any easier. With that said, we'll take a little break and we'll be right back with Brian Compton of NHL.com.
Have you been thinking about hosting a podcast? Blueberry.com makes it as easy as 1, 2, 3. 1. Produce your podcast. 2. Write your blog post. 3. Publish. Blueberry's WordPress integration puts you in control. You own it all. Blueberry is just there to make it easy. Head over to blueberry.com. That's BLUBRRY.com and use promo code IELTS for 1 month free.
All right, welcome back to the Secondary Assist Podcast. At this time, we're going to welcome in my friend, Brian Compton, Deputy Managing Editor for NHL.com, co-host of the wildly popular Aisle Seat Podcast, and lover of all things McDonald's, apparently. Well, not all things McDonald's, McRib specifically. Brian, how you doing, sir?
I'm not a fan of the Filet-O-Fish. Let's get that out there right away.
It's not a bad sandwich, Brian. It's not a bad sandwich.
I do have to admit, I've never had a McRib.
Well, you're not going to get one this year either, apparently.
Apparently.
It's torture.
It is crack cocaine, dude. It is literal crack cocaine. I had one, and I've never stopped eating them. And it's kind of funny, Brian. You'll appreciate this. Last night, my wife was in Atlantic City with her mother and her sister. So my father-in-law, who's like 80, was here with me. I was kind of keeping an eye on him. And I asked him what he wanted for dinner. I said, you want me to order a pizza? He's like, oh, I'm kind of in the mood for a burger. You want to? And I'm like, so I'm thinking of all the good burger places around here to go to. And he finally goes, you know what? I can kind of go for a chicken sandwich from McDonald's. We actually ended up at McDonald's.
Man after my own heart. Good for him.
All the other fancier places that could exist around here. So,
if I make it to 80, I will be at McDonald's myself. So. There you go.
He's at the point where, you know what? I don't tell an 80-year-old man where he can and cannot eat.
Absolutely.
He wants to eat. It's right. That simple. I told my wife she better bury me with a piece of chicken parm.
Jeez.
So, Brian, we got a wild metropolitan division going on here, bro. I mean, we're looking at the top six teams being separated by 4 points. They all have either 8 or 9 regulation wins. What do you make of A, the craziness in the division, and B, where do you put the Islanders in this mess of teams?
I can make a hat or a brooch
or a pterodactyl.
No, I'm just kidding. And, you know, it's funny. I brought it up on Twitter last night. And, of course, Isles Twitter being Isles Twitter, it's like, this isn't fun. What are you talking about? I'm like, guys, don't you remember Joey McDonald and Jan Denis and, you know, the crud that the Islanders used to trot out night after night not too long ago? Like, this is fun, man. And, you know, they haven't gone back-to-back games without getting a point yet. So
Right. They're
doing their part. They haven't played a ton of home games. You compare them to a team like the Rangers, who already played, what, 13, 14 games at the Garden? So and the Islanders have been, say what you want about the Bark, but all the Islanders do there is win. So if that trend continues, they're going to be in this race, not only for a playoff spot, but potentially for the division, because this is a different metropolitan division in the sense that we know who's going to finish 1, 2, 3. I don't think we have any clue how this division is going to shake out.
I sure don't. What do you feel about, I mean, do you think the Devils, I mean, they're 11-4-2 right now, obviously riding a wave of youth there, a kind of infusion of offensive talent. What do you make of them? Do you think they're a team that I kind of have them pegged as by the end of the season, they're maybe fighting for that kind of 8-9 spot. I'm not sure they can keep this up.
Yeah, you're kind of waiting for the other shoe to drop, right, and have them come back to earth a little bit. But, you know, it's funny. We have to do our picks here for the various awards for the first quarter here. And John Hines is my Jack Adams pick, or he's going to be in the top three for sure. Gerard Gallant might be my pick. I still have to go through everything, but he's done a remarkable job with the Devils. I don't think anybody saw this coming, and it's funny, you know, everybody, or at least I thought they were going to be in the mix for Shattenkirk, and had they gotten Kevin Shattenkirk, they wouldn't have gotten Butcher, who's been tremendous for these guys. So a lot of good young kids there. You know, you have a guy like Schneider in between the pipes to kind of provide that stability. So are they going to keep this up? I don't think so. But I don't think they're going to finish last either. They could certainly be in the mix for a wild card.
Let me piggyback on the first quarter awards topic right there. And let's talk about Matt Barzal. Have you been impressed with his start to the season for the Islanders?
No doubt. No doubt. You know, you knew he was a skilled guy, Shane, but it's how strong he is on the puck that has just blown me away. I mean, this is a 20-year-old kid, and I was talking to Garth about it a couple weeks ago, and he said, wait 5 years from now and see how strong he is on the puck if you think he's strong on the puck now. So, you know, he's still growing into his frame. And, you know, like I said on my show with Mike last week, this is kind of like Ziggy Palfy in the late 90s, a guy – different from Johnny in the sense that he just brings you out of your seat every time he's on the ice. He's doing something spectacular. So ask Rob Bartuzzo how he feels about Matt Barzal. You guys saw that clip. Holy smokes.
The you speed know, for me is just so much fun to watch with Barzal, too.
Yeah. His skating ability, his ability to accelerate, and like I said, he's just very difficult to bump off the puck, too, which is really what has separated him from a lot of guys for me.
Sticking with the youth also, I know you're a big fan of Beauvillier. I actually said it right that time. Yeah. Props to Shane. With him being down right now, but hopefully coming back soon, where do you see him fitting? I know Wade has said in the past he's having a hard time fitting him in the lineup. Where do you envision Beauvillier being?
Yeah, you know, everybody thinks this Kuhlman injury opens the door for Josh Hosang. Josh Hosang is not going to replace Nikolai Kuhlman. I mean, he doesn't fill that role. Whereas Beauvillier, I think, could. He's obviously not as strong or as big as Kuhlman is, but can certainly kill penalties, brings that grit. So I think this more clarifies that Beauvillier is going to be here because I thought he could have been one of those guys in danger of going down. Not because I think he deserves it, but because he doesn't need waivers. Could have been one of those guys in and out of the lineup. Whereas you'd rather see him be a full-time guy, whether it's here at Bridgeport. But I think the Kuhlman injury could potentially make Beauvillier a full-time player moving forward.
Let me ask you this, Bri. With sticking on that topic for a second, if you put Beauvillier in the lineup when he's healthy, if you keep Josh Hosang in the lineup, which as we know with Josh is kind of, it goes kind of game to game, whether he's going to be in the lineup or not, depending on how he does, or if he turns the puck over. Who are you taking out? You know, you gotta look to, I would think, Jason Chimera's got to be the top candidate at this point to find a seat in the press box, no?
Yeah, I think they know that once they pull the plug on Chimera, that's it. Like, you can't go back and forth with Chimera, so I think that's why they're taking so long to make that decision.
Oh, that's a good point.
But he's been dreadful. I mean, there's just no way around it. I mean, and even when he's had chances, he's shooting it wide. Like, he's just not bringing anything to the table. And when you're not scoring goals, which is what Chimera has done for over the last 15 years, and you're turning pucks over that leads to goals the other way, it's just a bad scene with Jason Chimera right now. So that's the guy I think Hosang has a better chance of replacing. It's just a matter of when the Islanders ultimately decide to pull the plug on Jason Chimera, because once they do, that's it.
I think the epitome of Chimera's season was when he broke his stick and then kicked the puck away from DeHaan skating to the bench to get another stick.
Well, they almost collided to get kicked the puck away.
It's been a complete nightmare for Chimera since the beginning of the season. Just a total disaster. I mean, there's just no way around it.
Now, that means that either Hosang or Beauvillier's got to play on that fourth line with Cizikas and Clutterbuck. One of the two has to go there. And
I think Beauvillier makes more sense with Zekas and Clutterbuck. That could be a really good energy line for the Islanders. Josh Hosang is not a fourth-line player. That's not what he does. So, you know, if you have a third line of Hosang, Nelson, and I don't know who the third guy – who would be the third guy there? I mean, it's tough to – you're not going to take Bailey off that top line, I don't think.
No.
I think
you got to keep Ladd with Barzal and Eberle, I think.
That line's been really good.
So I think you got to go Hosang, Nelson, and
is Prince a Hosang center or a wing when he comes back?
He's a wing. Prince is a wing. So he's still a ways away. I talked to Doug about Shane last week, and even when he is ready to go, he's got to go to Bridgeport for conditioning because he didn't have a training camp.
So I guess you got to leave Quine.
So there's still some things to work out here.
Oh, Quine. You didn't even think about Quine, yeah.
Yeah, Quine could be the third guy on that third line, I guess. I mean, that's not ideal. I think on a really good team, Alan Quine is that 13th forward, but
I agree too. Yeah,
there's still some moving parts here that they've got to figure out.
What'd you see in Hosang's game the other night, Bri? You know, obviously he came back with renewed instructions from Brent Thompson. I was talking to Michael Fornabeo, who covers the Sound Tigers excellently, and he was telling me that, you know, the main goal for Josh down in Bridgeport, and he really didn't get this right away, which is a little worrisome, but is to kind of simplify his game. He made that one brutal defensive zone turnover on his first shift or his second shift and early in the first period. And then from that point, Shane and I think he was pretty good. What are your thoughts on Hosang's game from Saturday?
Yeah, I thought he was okay. It's just they've got to stay on him like stink on you-know-what guys in terms of it's like Dougie said the first week of the season. Somebody's getting a scoring chance when he's on the ice, whether it's for us or for them. And there's just got to be more consistency as far as that goes. He's got to learn to be more responsible with the puck. He's got to learn to, when the coach yells, get off the ice, you got to get off the ice. I mean, that game at the Garden was just brutal. Oh, I mean, he just didn't know when to get off the ice for a line change. So that's basic stuff. And, you know, you're not in Windsor or Niagara anymore. This is the National Hockey League. This is the cream of the crop. So I think he'll get it with time. He's a really cerebral guy. He's very intelligent. But he's got to learn that you can't just do what you want at this level. It doesn't work that way. But I think he'll get it with time. And I think that this is the right coaching staff that's going to bang it into his head to just do things the right way.
I want to transition a little bit here, guys, to the other side of the blue line and talk a little bit about the back end. I think the offense has been the least of the Islanders' worries so far. With the goaltending tandem of Greiss and Halak, last week I said on the podcast one of them needs to take the reins and start to get some consistent play time because I think that's the only way a goalie really plays well. Have you seen either of them take steps to that? I think Greiss played fantastic in St. Louis, but he was poor before that. Do you think either of them step forward here and pick up the starter role?
Well, for me, Shane, he's the one who's stolen a couple of games for these guys. I mean, the St. Louis game could have been a 6-5 loss easily. I mean, he made three or four spectacular saves. He stole the game in San Jose when he made 40 saves. So, you know, you look at his save percentage a week ago and you're like, well, I guess he really hasn't been good. And, you know, the Minnesota game was a tire fire from Greiss out. It wasn't just Thomas Greiss.
Right.
So, I'm not sold on this gold. I don't think Jarl's going to be as bad as he's been, but he's got to pick up his you-know-what quick because, I mean, look, like I said, they've been getting points left and right, which is great, but they need more out of Jarl for sure. But of the two, I think Thomas Greiss plays again Thursday. He certainly earned it after the game in St. Louis, and obviously Jarl's going to get a game over the weekend with the back-to-back. So I think Greiss has been the better of the two so far. But they need more out of Yaroslav Halak moving forward, without a doubt.
What do you think, Bri, of this team's, you know, I was concerned, very concerned. I said it in print. I said it in the podcast where I screamed it from the top of the Empire State Building. I was concerned with this team defensively. And I always said, you know, can they do the one thing that they're supposed to do? And that's play defense. Outside of a select few, I still aren't too sure what I'm seeing defensively out of this team. I see a lot of running around in the defensive zone at times. Teams are cycling like crazy on them. Clearing the puck has been an adventure, especially on the PK where I said it before, we tend to pick out the defenseman and where he is at the point and clear it right at that guy. What are you seeing defensively that either concerns you or to debate my point, you know, maybe you don't feel the same way about the defense right now?
No, I'm with you, Andy. I'm with you. You know, they're like a lot of other teams where they're a stud defenseman away from being really, really good. You know, they have depth that they rave about left and right, but they don't have a stud. You know what I mean? Like Nick Leddy is not a stud. Johnny Boychuk is not a stud. Calvin DeHaan is not a stud. They're serviceable players. Leddy is a beautiful skater and it will help your power play, but he's not Duncan Keith. He's not right. Drew Doughty. Like, you know what I mean? Like, those guys don't grow on trees. Don't misunderstand me, but, you know, they're infatuated with Adam Pellick, who I think is okay, but he's not, you already see that he's not going to be a 26 minute a night shutdown defenseman.
Nope.
I think he'll be another serviceable player for these guys. But like I said last week on my show, if Ekman Larson is out there at the deadline, which I think he could be, they have the pieces to get him. So there's nothing holding them back from getting a guy like him, and he would make a world of difference. So to long story short, I think the D's been okay, but I would like to see them go out one of these nights and hold a team to 19 or 20 shots and win a game 5-1. That's what I would like to see.
Let's spitball for a second, then I'm going to put you on the spot. What would you be willing to give up for Ekman Larson?
Well, they have the picks, right? I mean, they have 2 ones and 2 twos at next year's draft, so you have that. I'm not saying
deep
give
draft
them all
too.
Of that. Yeah, it's a very deep draft, so that would entice a guy like John Chayka for sure. You know, they have these younger defensemen. Devontae's, I think, is a very attractive piece, who's another terrific skater, much like Nick Leddy. So there's guys there. They have younger forwards that might be. I don't know how much it would take to get Ekman Larson. I'm sure it's not going to come cheap, because teams would line up once Chayka announces that he's on the market. So it's not going to be easy, but they certainly have the guys to get it done. And they can't be. It can't be about draft picks anymore. I've been saying this year after year after
year. Yeah, you
year.
Have. Yep.
You have the pieces to make such a splash. You have a different ownership in place now that is hell-bent on, you know, bringing this franchise, you know, back to among the tops in the league. So no excuses anymore. You have everything you possibly need to make such a trade.
My only concern there would be if I go back to the Duchesne talks over the summer, which got hot and heated until Joe Sakic kept echoing the name of Matt Barzal just on repeat in Gart Snow's ear over and over again. It just, for a team like the Coyotes, man, wouldn't they love to add a young dynamic forward like that? And my fear is that, you know, they would need to come off of that ask, obviously, for Gart Snow to even entertain it at this point. But I do agree that's exactly the kind of player that they need at this point.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm sure Chayka reads the papers, and I'm sure that he's already been notified that Matt Barzal is off the market and was never really on the market. So.
Right.
But I don't know I can't see a scenario where Chayka is going to say it's Barzal or no deal. The Islanders have other pieces. I mean, Coyotes are still years away from winning, as we can already tell.
Years or decades.
Yeah. I mean, look, they have some young, attractive forwards already. I mean, Domi's a player. Clayton Keller is a hell of a player. He's probably Barzal's different competition for the Calder. You know, are the picks enough? Again, I have no idea. I mean, Chayka said a week or two ago that Ekman Larson's not on the market, but that can change come February, because we see how the season's going, and who knows how much he's going to become once his contract expires.
Brian, let me ask you this. You know, we see the Islanders so much that I don't know if kind of you watch games from the press box the same way that I do, but I tend to focus so much more on the other team, because, like, you know, teams I don't get to see, especially on an every night basis. The Islanders are kind of like old hat for me. It's like, all right, yeah, I know what Barzal does. I know what Tavares does, blah, blah, blah. You know, I want to see I was so amazed last week with Connor McDavid. That was the first time I had the opportunity to see him live. I missed the Oilers game last year. What's one guy that you just make it a point, like, you have to be at that game to see this guy play? Like, what's one guy that's really, like, just blowing your socks off? For me so far, it's been McDavid, clearly. I know it's a tough question.
No, there's just so many. Like, I love Sidney Crosby. I love him. I know.
Yeah, me too.
He bothers people because they complain that he whines the referee and everything else, but he is the perfect hockey player. He really is. I mean, he's brilliant. He's talented. He's a leader. So I love watching Crosby. I love watching McDavid, like you said. I mean, that's the one thing that's great about my job, about being here till 2:30 every morning, is that I get to watch the West Coast games, so I see McDavid all the time on TV. But he's one of those guys that you have to see in person to really appreciate what he does. Ryan Kessler is another guy like that. I mean, he's not a superstar per se, but Kessler is a joy to watch too. But McDavid, I've never seen anybody accelerate the way he does.
Goodness gracious.
He goes from 0 to 60 in 2 seconds. It's crazy. He's certainly a phenomenal player to watch too.
And as you just said, I was super duper impressed with Clayton Keller. My God, what a player
tremendous.
He's going to be. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, tremendous. Yeah. Scotty Mayfield was telling me that he's one of those, St. Louis guys that has really, St. Louis, Pee Wee hockey and then local hockey has really grown, leaps and bounds over the past few years. And obviously Keller is one of those guys. So, good for, the state of Missouri. It's cool to see.
Well, Brian, we thank you very much for some minutes of your time. I know you got a heavy shift to get back to over at NHL.com. Again, Deputy Managing Editor for NHL.com, Brian Compton. You can follow him on Twitter at BComptonNHL. Also, take a listen. Him and Mike Carver have the Aisle Seat Podcast. You can follow them at Aisle Seat Podcast. Fantastic show. They actually were the creators of the now it's a famous slogan, right? Trading John Tavares is the worst idea ever. On a T-shirt and everything. You can't get any better than that.
Yeah, my boys at New York Bootleg made a T-shirt, which I recently purchased. It's tremendous.
Which I recently purchased.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
We're still waiting. I'm getting – every time I see Brian in the press box, I always tell him he's got to put Chris on the ILC podcast. I'm still waiting for that. I think that's going to be the show of the year. But, Brian, thank you so much for submitting to your time. I really appreciate it, and I will see you Thursday night, sir.
All right, boys. Thanks. See you.
Thanks, Brian.
It was Brian Compton, Deputy Managing Editor for NHL.com, gracious with his time on his shift over at the NHL offices to speak with us about the Islanders. Interesting stuff, man. I love what he threw out there about Ekman Larson. That would be phenomenal. I mean, I know what he's saying. The Islanders do have the pieces to get him. He's right on with that. Again, my fear is just that every team Snow tries to call about a deal, they're going to just stick to their guns and want Barzal.
Let me tell you something. I would do literally anyone else, though.
Yeah,
I would send them pretty much anyone they would ask for, minus
Barzal.
Like
Brian said, what if you said to Arizona, I mean, Oliver Ekman-Larsson is that good where you can kind of say, you know, take a Thomas Hickey off our hands who will be serviceable for you for, you know, at a cheap contract and could be a nice 5-6 guy for you to tour the younger kids and take all four of those picks.
Hell yeah. I mean, I'd move Beauvillier.
Or take the two first round. Maybe.
100%.
Or take the two first rounders, right? Take the two first rounders and Hickey. Two first rounders.
No, I think I'd give them all four. You start with the two first rounders.
Two seconds.
Yeah, I would do it in a heartbeat.
You're talking about a guy like Oliver Ekman-Larsson is absolutely, as Brian said, dynamic.
He's a complete game changer for the Islanders.
Yeah, he would add a whole nother level. He would add a whole nother level. And that's a good point, Brian. You know, I've kind of never thought about Nick Leddy as a he said Nick Leddy wasn't a stud, nice, serviceable defenseman, terrific skater, helps the power play. I have Leddy maybe wrongfully on a little bit higher of a plane than that, but at the end of the day, I think he pretty much echoed my sentiment that he's not too happy with the defense as currently constructed either, and that's going to be something to really take a look at as we go down the line.
I almost want to go downstairs and put the TV on and just end the podcast right here, because apparently the Knicks and the Cavs, it's turning into a hockey game.
Oh, they're fighting?
With people getting in each other's faces. Some Stephen Bondi from, what is he, the Post Bondi or the News?
Oh, Philip Bondi, you mean?
No, Stephen Bondi. Daily News. He's Daily News. He just tweeted, Enes Kanter has beef with the president of Turkey. You think he's scared of LeBron? That might be top five tweet all time. But anyway.
I'm not a basketball fan. Never was, never will be. So they can keep that game.
I like when basketball turns into hockey.
Or you like when anything turns into hockey.
That's a fair point. I just like when people get beat up. But Brian Compton did have a lot of good stuff to share with us today on the podcast. The Oliver Ekman-Larsson, I think, gets everyone thinking the most. Listen, don't go home tonight and start dreaming about who you're going to trade for Oliver Ekman-Larsson, because he's a ways away until he's put up on the block, if it happens at all. But if it does, man, Garth Snow better go up there with everything except Barzal. That, and get us a new starting goalie, please. Thank you. Too much?
The wishes of one Shane Blackburn. That's how Shane's going to address his Christmas card to Garth Snow.
Get us a new starting goalie?
Oliver Ekman-Larsson and new starting goalie. Love, your friend, Shane.
I wanted to ask if he thought there was any chance of moving someone for a goalie, like maybe moving Halak and some youth for a goalie.
I don't think the goalie market sucks. If a team has a number one goalie, they sure as shit ain't trading him.
Because there's nothing
I mean, the Islanders are kind of stuck with what they have, you know, and hope to God that Ilya Sorokin finds his way over here.
I was going to say, they kind of have to just hope he's the savior, don't they?
Well, they're screwed, yeah.
Are there even any good free agents on the market?
Again, a goalie comes up on the market in a free agency when he's, you know, 30-plus.
Yeah.
You know, you think about guys, and you think about goalies who've been traded, like, there's not many. There's really not many, you know, Mike Smith, Brian Elliott, Roberto Luongo, you know, were all traded at later stages of their careers.
Oh, boy, let's hope for Sorokin.
That's it.
All right, Andy, it was fun.
Absolutely. Thank you to Brian again. Of course, thank you, as always, Shane.
What was that?
You didn't like that? You didn't like that little...
It sounded like you were going to sneeze and tried to get my name in before it came out.
Well, your name is like goes right along with a sneeze, actually.
You're welcome, Andy.
All right. Well, whatever.
Anything you want to say before we get out of here?
I tried to add a little more spice to this podcast and try to liven things up a little bit.
Do you think we need that?
Just take a dump on my head.
We need that? We make the most ridiculous, outrageous comments on this podcast. You think we need to liven it up a bit?
You just took a smelly dump on my head, and that's not cool, dude.
I'm sorry. You know what it is? I eat pizza, and I don't feel good.
Oh, who the hell eats pizza and doesn't feel good afterwards? That's ridiculous.
Anyone who shouldn't eat cheese.
Well, you've got a cheese allergy? Or a cheese thing?
Yeah, it's my stomach's just a wreck.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. Well, medical stuff aside, you go have yourself a nice night.
I'm going to. You do too. We will be back next week. We are the Secondary Assist Podcast, Shane Blackburn, Andy Graziano, and a big thank you to NHL.com's Brian Compton this week.